Well, typically what they do in Vacation Bible School is every day they focus on a certain scripture. So the overall theme was shipwrecked. And every day they had a different Bible story. And every day they learn a new kind of call and response. So a call may be like this, when you're lonely, and then they definitely learn their response always was Jesus rescues. So all week long we talked about when you're lonely, Jesus rescues. When you worry, when you struggle, when you do wrong, when you're powerless, Jesus rescues. And that was the shouts of the children all week long. And as is my tradition, following that Vacation Bible School week, as we kind of wind things down this Vacation Bible School Sunday, I select one of those stories or one of those messages of the week to share with us this morning. And so I chose this morning to reflect on when you worry, Jesus rescues. Because I think in our world today that I think there is a great deal of worry. And I think that it's never too much for us to be reminded how often there are examples about worry within Scripture and how there are instructions for us how to stay away from worry, but then if we have it, how to deal with it. And as I said, there's so many stories. If you think back in the Old Testament, as the Israelites crossed the desert for their 40 years, they worried a great deal because they worried about where their next food and where their next lodging was going to be. When the disciples went with Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane, they were worrying about what was going to happen next to Jesus. When Jesus would tell parables, he would speak about worry. He told the parable about the thorns and the weeds that would grow and how that they would choke out the good growth or the wanted growth, and equating that with worry. So the lesson that the children heard this week in Bible school about worry is from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. So I'd like to share that with you this morning. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Tuesday, that was the Bible lesson. And so creatively, what they do every day is every station that the children go through to every day emphasizes the message. So when they go to snack, the snack had something to do with worry. When they go to play outside for their time, that's something about worry. They learn a lesson, the same lesson, through many different ways throughout the day. I loved it that this particular day on worry, they have with every day what's called Bible adventure. And that's usually a drama or something very interactive for the children. And so we arrived for Bible adventure that day and walked into the rec room, and it was a wreck. It had little pieces of paper, I mean, scattered all over. It was just, you kind of had to just shuffle your way through. There was so much trash on the floor. So we all gathered and kind of scooted the trash away so we could sit down and receive our instructions. And the instructions that we received from the leaders, Ken and Dave and Monty, was this, that our responsibility, the task that we needed to be about, was we needed to prepare that room for a very, very special guest who was coming. And so the first thing they instructed everyone to do is, first of all, there's so much trash on the floor, we can't have someone come into our home like this, so let's pick up the trash. And then there were several other tables where they, various groups went, where they had various tasks. One of those tables was they needed to make bread. So they had lots of Play-Doh that they would roll and they would make into bagels or an Italian loaf or into a pretzel twist or whatever. So they were preparing bread, and there were a couple other tables doing the similar kinds of tasks. That was going on for about 10 minutes and everyone's busy, but one group during that time had been invited to sit in the corner of the room where there was a nice comfy chair. And there were some palm trees kind of around them. And there was a television going. I think there was some good movie or show that was on. And that group was just invited to go over there and to just sit down and to just relax. you know, talk together and watch what was on television. And then in a few minutes, someone brought that group popcorn to eat. So that group sat in that corner watching television, talking and eating popcorn. When suddenly, somehow, an awareness occurred within the rest of the kids who had been very, very busy working. And so they looked up and they saw this group that was sitting in the corner. And so there were many things said like, well, what are they doing over there? What makes them special? Why don't they have to do anything? This just doesn't seem quite fair. As we remember the story of Mary and Martha, Martha would have said, it's just not fair. Look at Mary. She's sitting at your feet when I'm doing everything. Everything. Mary was worried that day and had two reasons that really caused her to worry. The first one was, well, obviously she had a very important house guest. And she felt this need, this drive to be able to have everything be perfect and to do everything she could to make things perfect. So she worried about it and she was busy. Also on Mary's mind would have been the fact that this was a time when they were almost in the midst of one of the Jewish festivals. In that era and today, Jewish people honored three different festivals, and one of them was the Feast of the Tabernacle. And so this was the time of the Feast of the Tabernacle. And what Martha knew this meant is Jews from all over were called to come back to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. So that meant that there would be lots of company and lots of things to do. And this festival would last for 1 week. And so she had many, many things to prepare in order that she could entertain people as they would be coming in to be entertained. So she was worried about both of those things. Today, Jewish persons of the Jewish faith continue to honor the Feast of the Tabernacle. They still honor that, and if you have any Jewish persons maybe that live nearby you, maybe you have been witness to that. But in today's world, when this season comes, Jewish persons will erect in their backyard what is called a sukkah. And a sukkah is a temporary building to remind them again of when their ancestors, the Israelites, had traveled throughout the desert for 40 years without any real regular dwellings to live in. And I know I have, living a couple streets over, I have a family that's Jewish, and they honor this every year, and I always am so excited and know it's the time of the Feast of Tabernacle as they erect just for this week this temporary building that they go into and they eat or they sit or they sleep to remind them of how much they need to depend on God. And I think I've thrown up there three pictures. Those are different kinds of sukkahs that you may see in today's world that people still put up in behind their homes. Jesus was telling Martha that the most important thing was to be connected with him, that she didn't need to be to do anything or be associated with anything, that he wanted her to be there with him, even though she had all of these things that she was worried about. More importantly was that she take time with Jesus. There's a story told of a young man who left his old country and traveled across the Atlantic Ocean to the New World. And when he left, he came from a rather poor family, and so he didn't have much money. His father was only able to give him enough to maybe just have a little left once he came to the New World. And his mother packed him a basket filled with food because the journey on the ocean would take a month. And so every evening, he'd go to the top of the boat, and he'd sit there, and he'd take something out of that basket, and he would eat it, and he would just say, offer a prayer of blessing, because he felt so blessed that he had a family who took such good care of him. And while he would sit up there on top and he'd eat the foods that came out of his basket, he also noticed that there was a dining room, and that the dining room was filled with people, and it was filled with servers who would come through with these platters of hot, steamy food that just smelled delicious. And he just observed this night after night after night. And so eventually, as his food dwindled down, he was about 3 days outside of New York City. And his food was pretty much gone. He had maybe like a shriveled apple or a couple cracker crumbs is about all he had. He was hungry. So he went to the porter and in his broken English tried to ask the question, food, how much? took a little while for the porter to understand that he was asking how much would it cost for him to be able to buy some food that he could eat. The porter smiled. He said, "It cost you nothing. It was free to eat. It was included in the cost of the passage that you had paid." Because this young man was so distracted and so focused in another direction, he never realized what was there for him. And I think that's what Jesus feared for Martha, that she was going to be so worried and so busy that she would miss the grace that Jesus wanted to offer to her. But she worried, and she was busy. You know, I almost think of, there's an island, Greek island, in the Aegean Sea called Naxos. And one of the things that island is known for, that you will see all kind of people wearing these beads that they wear around their necks that they make. And you also see them just kind of holding on to them and fidgeting. And what you will learn is those beads are called comboloi beads, and that translates to be worry beads. So what do they do with their worry? But they just manipulate those beads in their hands to hopefully try to work it out. And Jesus is saying, you know, it's almost like he was saying, those beads aren't even going to help you. Let me tell you, there is something better available for you. All week long, the song that they sang, the kids sang this week, and they talked about the no more worry, no more worry. And then they do the motion of just over their shoulders, and they keep doing this. And it made me remember a situation in my own life a number of years ago in visiting my grandma Napier. My kids were probably about elementary age kids. And I have one daughter who loves to talk and who is pretty good at worrying. And so when she sat down to talk to grandma, grandma would always hear about everything and always included in what she talked about were her worries. And so my grandma said to her at one point, she said, "Honey, it's not helpful for you to be fretting like that. In fact, it's really kind of, it's harmful to you, and you're wasting such good energy. I don't want you to worry anymore. What I want you to do is anytime you feel like worrying, I want you to take your worry and just throw it over your shoulder. When you got a worry, take it and just throw it over your shoulder and get rid of it." And the funny thing was, later that day when we were driving home, saw her sitting in the backseat of the car, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and I saw her every once in a while going like this. And I knew what she was doing. She was throwing her worries away, just like Grandma had said. But being the pastor that I am and looking at situations probably a little more deeply, I thought, you know, how does that connect with faith? How does just taking this worry and just throwing it over your shoulder. I mean, I know that the worry has to land somewhere. I know it's going to go somewhere, and it could maybe come back. So I thought what was missing with that is faith. How does faith connect with our worry? And so I thought, you know, so what I really wanted to do was to take the worry, throw it over her shoulder, and then so that it would end up with Jesus. That's what I knew needed to happen, is the way that to really get rid of it is to give up the worry and that it would land with Jesus. And Martha really kind of started to do a little bit of this because she did speak to Jesus. She said, "Jesus, do you not see all that how busy I am? Do you not care? And Mary is just sitting there and doing nothing." So at least she took her worries and she gave them to Jesus. And in this story, what Jesus tried to do is, I'm going to try to tell you, I'm going to teach you and share with you how to get rid of that worry. And yes, I'm here. Give me the worry and come sit with me. That's where your worry needs to land. I think that this is the message that the Apostle Paul was trying to give the persons in the church of Philippi. I think he would have known this message, a message from Jesus, and this is what he shared in his words with the persons there. "Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I think what this scripture does, when we look into it, I think it gives us three very practical steps to help us with the things that we worry about. And the first one is, be anxious about nothing. And I know that's hard. It's probably, to some extent, maybe unreasonable. But I believe that that's what God wants us to learn and to work toward, is that we can get the point where be anxious about nothing. And that's really about learning to trust God and trust Him in our lives more. So He said in Scripture, do not worry about anything. Be anxious about nothing. The second practical step is be prayerful about everything. And the Scripture said, but in everything by prayer and supplication. You know, fretting will just magnify the problem, and prayer will magnify God. So if you've got this worry, what we're saying in these practical steps is, if you got this worry, what do you do with it? Be prayerful about everything. No matter what it is that you're worrying about, be prayerful about it. So again, we're helping it to land with Jesus. And finally, third step is be thankful for all things. And again, in this Scripture it says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Be thankful for all things, no matter what it is, no matter what is happening. Anytime we are thankful for not only what's happening, but other things in our lives, what we find is that spirit of thankfulness begins to consume our hearts, and it takes up the space so that worry can no longer enter into it. Be anxious about nothing. Be prayerful about everything. Be thankful for all things. So how do we know if we're worrying? I think there's a difference between concern and worry. And maybe it's the degree that begins to make that makes the change. Because I do believe that there are things that we need to be concerned about. But when do we cross that line, and does our concern be worry? And I think I have a table up there. Concern and worry. Let's see, they're all blended together. Concern involves a legitimate threat, and we're dealing with a specific one thing. And what we do is we address the problem, we don't obsess about the problem, we solve the problem, we look to God for the answer. I see what you did with that now. And so basically what it means, when we're concerned, we focus on the probability of an event and we take action. We focus on the probability of event, our event is here, and we take action. As opposed to worry, things we worry about are often untrue, they are generalized and spread to other things, doesn't worry eventually take over kind of in all spaces of our lives. We obsess about the problem, we create more problems, and we look to ourselves or others for answers. So worry helps us to focus on improbable events, and then we get frozen and we can't do anything productive. Difference between concern and worry. So I thought, how can we know if we need to understand ourselves as people who worry? So I thought it was good to share a list of 10 things. So I'm thinking, if you can count on your head or count on your fingers, and if you answer yes to probably 5 of these, I guess I would need to say that we're probably worrying. So let's take a look at that list. First of all, if you spend much more time in useless, non-constructive worry than other people you know. 2, people comment how much of a worrier you are. 3, you feel that you must worry. 4, worry interferes with your work. And 5, worry interferes with your close relationships. 6, you know that many of your worries are unrealistic or exaggerated, yet you cannot control them. 7, you need chronic reassurance even when everything is fine. 8, have physical symptoms of worry such as rapid heartbeat, rapid breathing, sweating, or trembling. 9, have exaggerated fear of certain situations that others seem to handle without difficulty. And finally, 10, your parents or grandparents were worriers or struggled with anxiety. So you can figure out yourself if you fall into that category of worry. Worries like a church member who left after the last message said to me, I gave a really short message in there, and he said, hey, have you ever heard the one that worry is like a rocking chair? It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Yeah, I did hear that one in the midst of my research. It doesn't get you anywhere. There are so many stories of worry within Scripture and in the Old and the New Testament. You may remember the story when the disciples were on the boat and there came a storm, and Jesus was asleep in the boat, and they were really worried about their safety. They were really worried that their boat was not going to make it and that they would not make it. So let's create an analogy between the disciples in the boat and our own personal experiences. So imagine that we are a boat, and that we are floating on the sea of life. And we can know that storms do come. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean we don't have storms in life, but storms do come. And when they come, sometimes it feels like they're going to swamp us and they're just covering us up. And we can become so discouraged and we can become so depressed, even to the point where some people think about taking their own life. But what I want to say is Jesus is on your boat. If we're this boat floating in the sea of a storm, Jesus is on your boat. And Jesus knows your heart and knows your mind. And if we can just call out to him, pray to him, that he will calm the storm and the seas and allow us to stop the worry that we're all about. In that story was Jesus awoke and he saw the reaction, all the worry going on. You know, he said, "Why are you afraid, O men of little faith?" And what Jesus said is, you know, if you'll just have some faith in me, I can help you with that worry. But you have to have faith enough to trust in Jesus. And so what he was saying, take that worry and throw it over your shoulder and just let it land with me and let you be free of that. Again, and he used those same words about men of little faith in another place where there was another story on the sea, and that was the time when Jesus walked on the sea toward the disciples, and they saw Jesus coming out of the darkness, but they couldn't decide what that was about, and so they thought it was a ghost or an apparition that was walking toward him until Peter said to him, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come." So Jesus said, "Come." And the next thing he knew was Peter was walking on the water toward Jesus until he felt those waves and that sea again, and he began to worry and he began to sink. But you can remember these words that Jesus said to Peter as they got into the boat. He said, "Oh, man of little faith." And maybe if we're worrying, we're challenged, worry a lot, maybe we're challenged a little bit, maybe we need to just develop our faith just a little more and work on our faith a little more to help us with that worry. This last week on Wednesday, Susan Barrett, a member who typically worships at 9 o'clock, she was not here today because she had an outpatient procedure on Wednesday. I knew she did, and so I gave her a call in the afternoon to find out how the procedure went and how recovery was going then, and she shared with me that all was going well and as was expected, and it had been a very positive experience. That was typically Susan's way. I shared with her just the day before that we had had the lesson on do not worry, that that Jesus rescues. And she said, "I'm telling you, I know that." She'd had some surgeries before this one, and she said she had learned with experience that the best thing that she could do before the surgery is that she would spend time in prayer. She was totally in prayer because she knew if she wasn't, instead her mind would move to worry. She'd worry about the surgery. She'd worry about the recovery. She'd worry about how her family would do throughout this experience. And she knew, because she is a good person of faith, that she just continually prayed that entire time as they were just finishing prepping her, as she was wheeled into the operating room, as she was moved to the table. She continued to pray. And that's how she filled that time. She was anxious about nothing, prayerful about everything, and she was thankful in all things. And I believe the response to her with the way that she handled that moment would be, "O woman of great faith." Wasn't necessarily easy for her to do that, but it's what she chose to do. So as I conclude today's message and talking about worry, I'd like to suggest three things about worry. And the first one definitely connects with my story of Susan. Worry's a choice. Susan made a choice that day how she was going to handle that moment. She probably wanted to feel worry, or probably would naturally feel worry, but she worked against it, and she went to Jesus. And I like to, as with these 3 points, work my way through Matthew 6. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Remember, we can choose. And just because we choose not to worry doesn't mean we don't care. But we can choose not to worry. We can choose knowing that worry harms us, and that's not what we want to have happen. There's a short story written by Victor Hugo, and he's the author of Les Mis, and I'm going to take a kind of timeout commercial time. This upcoming week, or next week, we'll start a Broadway series, 126th and Broadway, and every Sunday, and I mentioned that in announcements, but every Sunday we'll be looking and exploring a different musical. Last year, Les Mis was one of those that we unpacked. Anyway, so the story is titled 93, and the story is about some men that were out on the sea, and a storm came up, and then all of a sudden they heard this terrible crash that was in the bottom of the boat, and they realized what that was. They were carrying a cannon, and the cannon had broken loose from the chains or whatever had tied it down, and so with every wave that the cannon was being thrown from one side to the other, and they knew that that could be potentially devastating, so a couple of the men went down into the bottom of the boat, and they secured the damage that had happened so that the cannon would no longer slide back and forth. They knew that the heavy cannon on the inside of the ship was more dangerous than the storm itself. Let me say that again. The heavy cannon on the inside of the ship was more dangerous than the storm itself. We need to make a choice to stay away from worry as we can. Second thing is focus on God. Again, going back to more of the scripture in Matthew 6, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Hear this. You have little faith. You have little faith. Have faith and focus on God. And finally, third, put first things first. And so do we. How do we get rid of this worry? How do we focus on God? What's putting God first? Before we even begin to worry, discipline ourselves even to just to begin to put God first. And again, in Matthew 6, he speaks to that. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough. So maybe you're sitting here today, and maybe you're worrying about something, or maybe there's going to be something happen tomorrow that you're going to begin to worry about. And we heard from the children in Vacation Bible School as they shared, even in their little lives, the things that they are already beginning to worry about. And our message continues as I think about my grandma, just throw it over your shoulder. Throw it over your shoulder. But then let it land with Jesus. Let it land with Jesus in his lap. Because that's what Mary did. And Jesus said, Mary, you've chosen the one thing that is needed. And that's that connection and that's relationship with me. Because together we can manage this. Together. Jesus said, come and be with me. Sit at my feet and just be with me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and holy God, we just do praise you and thank you that worry is something that we do not need to deal with all alone. That you are there with us and that you desire to hold the situation and to help us with those situations. So for any and all of us who are worrying this day or may worry in the next few days, Lord, I just pray that this message may be renewed in your mind. I just pray that we can remember that we can throw it over our shoulder and we can just let it land with Jesus. Just throw it over our shoulder. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's stand and sing today's closing hymn.